So, Hare Krishna, please all take your seats. As you know, the theme of my session in this Govardhan retreat is prayers. And our model of prayer, which we are studying at the present moment, is Kapanya Panjika Stotra by Rupa Goswami. Now, a few days back, I received a message from my friend who is on my left side, who said very simply, "I am here." And when I got this message, "I am here," my heart was heavy with enthusiasm, because of a particular evolving, tender friendship which we have. The last time I met Syam Prabhu in Braj, it was 1 year ago, he told me about a very particular Vaishnava called Ras Khan. A Vaishnava who really underwent a transformation which is beyond all comprehension and which is possible only really by Kripa, by mercy. So, when I heard this story of Ras Khan, who was born a Muslim and who developed a tremendous amount of attachment for Krishna, I was very, very inspired that maybe one day, by mercy, I can also develop that attachment to Krishna. And then, when I received that message, "I am here, Syam Das," my heart so much wanted to invite Syam Prabhu to tell us the story of Ras Khan, to maybe allow us to deeply dive into the mellows of his prayers and to wonder in ecstasy about the mercy of the Lord. And then I somehow got contact by the mobile phone with Syam Prabhu and requested him if it would be possible for him to attend our Govardhan retreat here in Bichhuakund, and he kindly agreed and arrived on time even, which is a mystical wonder, at least for me. So Syam Prabhu will be doing this session. I will be sitting as the most attentive listener. Syam Prabhu is here with his good wife Tulsi. I think, yes, Tulsi is there. And other devotees and associates. I should not forget that the story of Ras Khan is masterfully told in this book, The Treasure House of Love, by our respected author, Syam Prabhu. And if your heart gets the fire of enthusiasm about this amazing story, there are copies of this book with Syam Prabhu and his associates, so you can look at them and purchase them and get them and so on and so forth. But now, without any further ado, I request all of you to lovingly welcome Syam Prabhu and his associates by chanting Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo! Hari Bo! Hari Bo!
Sundar Gopalam Mahur Banamalam Nayana Vishala Madhu Karinam Vrindavana Chandram Ananda Gandam Paramananda Madharani Dharam Vallabha Ganeshamam Purinakamam Atya Viramam Apritakaram Bhajananda Kumaram Sarva Sukhasadram Tatva Vicharam Brahma Padam Giriraj Dharani Ki Jai. Little bit of my own story, which is insignificant, is I've been living here in this town of Jetipura since 1972. I was, one of the first Westerners to live out here on the Govardhan Hill. And so I developed an interest in Braj Bhasha, which is the local language, which is actually Krishna's language. Deva Bhasha is Sanskrit, of course, the language of all the devas. But Krishna's language is Braj Bhasha. Of that there is no doubt. And because no one spoke English in the entire town, except for, there was one man who spoke a bit of English. This guy here I have known for 35 years. I was forced to learn Braj Bhasha. And as I studied Krishna's language, I realized that the best Braj Bhasha language is the language of the Vaishnavas, the saints, because the way they have praised Sri Krishna in Braj Bhasha is better than Sanskrit on a certain level, because it is Krishna's language. And being born outside of India, like I think many of the people here, my interest went to, of course, many of the main poets like Nanda Das. This area here is actually associated with the great Ashtachap Braj Bhasha poet and disciple of Vitthal Naji, Nanda Das. It's written over there next to that small temple. So I studied the Ashtachap poets, but when I arrived at the poems of Rus Khan, I was very interested, because Rus Khan was not from Vedic society. He wasn't born in Vedic society like many of us. He was a Pathan. He was a Muslim. He was a Muslim from Delhi. And his story is told in the Doso Bhavan Vaishnav Varta, which is the story of 252 Vaishnav Siddhas, saints, who were during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Goswamis. There was a whole movement over here from the Wallabh Sampradaya, and they also produced many enlightened Vaishnav saints. And Rus Khan's story comes within that body of literature. Briefly, Rus Khan was unique because he was a Muslim. And now, if there is one line of Krishna poetry which is known throughout India, by everyone, not by everyone, but by many people, it was written by Rus Khan. And I'm going to sing a little bit. Shesha Mahesha Dinesha Sureshata Tahi Nirantara Parina Pave Tahi Anadi Ananta Akanda Abheda Subheda Dveda Badave Narada Sai Sukha Vyasarahe Pachaharina Poonina Parina Pave Tahi Ahira Kicho Hariya Chachiya Baricha Chivana Janajave. Who cares what these words mean? The beauty of Rus Khan's language is unparalleled in Braj literature. In terms of, he has a way to make the words rhyme with each other. Shesha Mahesha Dinesha Suresha Tatahi Nirantara Parana Pave Tahi Anadi Ananta Akanda Abheda Subheda Dabheda Batave Narada Sesha Gavyasara He Pachahara Napuna Naparana Pave. And this is the line which is the very famous one. Tahi Ahira Ki Chohariya Chachiya Baracha Chapenach and Chave. Let me explain the whole poem. Okay, most of it you can get because Shesha, Mahesha, Dinesha, Suresha. All right, so these are all the devas. sun god, Shiva, Dinesha, Indra, Suresha, Dahipada, Napave. They can't figure it out. They cannot figure out the nature of the Supreme Being. Purushottam, Krishna, Sri Krishna, who is Anadi, Ananta, Akanda, Abheda, Subheda, Tabheda, Batave. Now he goes into the Vedant. What is the nature of this Supreme Being? Anadi, has no end. Ananta, is infinite. It has no beginning either. Anadi, Ananta, and who is also Akanda. These are basically teachings from Gita. Who is Akanda? There is no break in the nectar flow of Krishna. We are very fortunate to be sitting here on the Govardhan Hill. This is, according to the Bhagavad, this is the place of Ras Lila, actually, according to Bhagavad, because Vrindavan is where Yamunaji flows next to Giriraji. And if you notice the sands on the sides of Govardhan Hill, it's testimony to the fact that Yamunaji flowed here. And there are towns right over here, Yamunavata, means the town of Yamuna, means that the Yamuna River flowed here. So this is Vrindavan Central. Vrindavan is everywhere. Of course, Vrindavan is where Vrindavan is also currently. But so this is a very sacred land, and Rus Khan came here, and I'm going to tell you the story after I get through this poem. Dahi Anadi Ananta, and he's Akanda. He has no break, the Supreme Being. Dahi Anadi Ananta Akanda, and is also Abheda, devoid of difference, duality. Abheda. Dahi Anadi Ananta Akanda Abheda Subheda. Who has beautiful differences, sort of like your Achinta Beda Abed here. Dahi Anadi Ananta Akanda, Abeda Subeda and Beda Batave. It has been revealed in the Vedic literature. Then, Rus Khan goes on again. Nada de se suka vyasarehe pachahara napun and napar and napave. Even the greatest of the sages, Narad, Sukhdev, even Vyas, he says, they can't get to the furthest end of the Krishna Lila and Tattva, in essence. But, and of course, Rus Khan specializes in the punchline. And this is the line which is the most important Braj Bhasha line, and perhaps the entire literature of Braj. It says, Tahi ahir de kichro hriya chachya barecha chapena chanachave. But if you have love, if you have devotion, or what we call bhakti, of course, like the gopikas of this region had, then this unattainable reality will come and dance before you for a palmful of what is called chach, buttermilk. If you have this much chach, a palmful of chach in your hands, and you offer it out to Sri Krishna, Krishna will manifest there and dance before you. Tahi ahir de ki chohariya, chachya baracha, chape nach and nachava. You can make him. I certainly can't, but he's talking about the level of the pure devotee who resides within the realm of Vrindavan. And Gopika Guruho Prokta. The gurus of that type of bhakti are, of course, the gopis. Tahi ahir ki cho hariya chachiya barecha chapena chanachave. Tahi ahir ki cho hariya chachiya barecha chapena. Rus Khan interested me because he was a bizarre character, like so many of us. In terms of the lives of the bhaktas, they are divided into three different, what is called janmas, three different lives. Rus Khan's story comes out of the Dosa Bhavan, out of the story of 252 Vaishnava saints. The first life is before they become Vaishnav. The second life is after they've taken Vaishnav initiation, in this case, from Wallabhacharya or Wallabhacharya's line. And the third life is their eternal form in the Leela, what in Gaudiya would be Manjari Rupas. Now, Rus Khan, in his first life, he was a Muslim living in Delhi, and he was gay. Believe it or not, it says it very clearly in the text. And he was in love with a beautiful young Hindu boy, the son of a wealthy merchant. And he had bhakti. It was just for the wrong thing. It was love. He would not eat until this boy ate. He would not drink until this boy drank. So he had the, what we call these samskaras, the initiations of love. They were just directed towards a very worldly subject. One day, some enlightened bhaktas came from this town, from Jatipura, and they had some work in Delhi. And they noticed Rus Khan, and they noted in particular Rus Khan's devotion for the boy. And they turned to each other, and they said, imagine if he had devotion for Lord Krishna, the way he loves that worldly boy who was going to die at some point. Rus Khan overheard them. He walked over to them, and he was somewhat violent. He pulled out a knife. He said, what did you say? I overheard you talking about me. They said, nothing. It was nothing. It was not nothing. You must tell me. So the Vaishnavas finally said, look, Rus Khan, we were just saying that if you loved Sri Krishna the way you love the boy, you would have arrived in Krishna's realm. You would have the supreme bhakti. Rus Khan, being a Muslim, didn't really know who Krishna was hardly. He says, who are you talking about? Krishna? Srinaji? Who is this? One of the bhaktas, they had a painting of Srinaji, who is, of course, Krishna himself, tied into his turban. And he pulled the painting out, a small painting. He showed it to Rus Khan. As soon as Rus Khan saw the picture of Srinaji, of Krishna, his mind and heart were blown away. And then he fell totally in love with Srinaji. What is the progression of prema, asakti, and vyasana in Sanskrit? First you have love, and then you have attachment, and that attachment blossoms into addiction when you can't live without God for a moment. Rus Khan took the picture and says, where does this boy live? He immediately forgot about the son of the wealthy Hindu. He was a moneylender, actually. And he leaves everything, right? He has tyag, very important, renunciation. His mind is completely focused only on the one supreme reality. But for him, he sees Krishna as Srinaji. Srinaji is, this is the form of Krishna that he saw. It's not the typical Vrindavan Krishna holding the flute. Srinaji, who actually appeared here on the Govardhan Hill in the town of Jatipura. And he went to Vrindavan. And there he saw Bunky Bihari. He saw Radha Vallabh. He probably went to Radha Raman. But that was Krishna playing the flute. And it wasn't the Krishna that he recognized. Because we all have our own personal relationship. And he wanted to only see Srinaji. He said, that's not the boy. Kind of a divine ignorance that results in increased devotion. Like when Mother Yashoda looked into the mouth of Lord Krishna as a child and she saw the entire universe. And she forgot that she was Krishna's mother. And she started to look upon her son as the absolute supreme reality, which was actually a downgrade from her previous position as loving Krishna as her son. And Krishna then covered her with yoga maya, according to the Bhagavad, so that she would not think of Krishna in terms of the opulent sort of Brahma Jyoti element, but more as his Purushottam, his supreme being element. So something like that. Rus Khan was only interested in the form of Srinagi because that was his personal Sarupa. That was his personal deity, his own Swami. He wanders about and he comes here. He comes here to Jatipura. And if you've noticed the big white temple that's on top of the hill, that's Srinagi's temple. It was probably in its day, it could have been the most important Christian temple in all of Braj. That and, of course, maybe one or two in Vrindavan. This was a major, major center of Christian worship. It was actually an interesting occurrence because it was worship, according to the Vallabhacharya history, it was a mixture of Gaudiya and Vallabha Sampradaya worship. And then afterwards, it moved over to Vallabha Sampradaya. Pushti Marg, but Rus Khan, he arrives here at the bottom of the hill, and he has a sense that I have arrived. The boy that I am in love with lives inside this building on top of the hill, I'm sure of it. And he goes up, and he tries to enter into the temple, and he's a Pathan, he's a Muslim. So the Chokidar, or the Dwarpal, the guard at the door, he says, sorry, buddy. No darshan for you. Rus Khan is nirasa. I think is the word which they use in the text. He's disappointed, gravely. He goes down on the other side of the Govardhan Hill to Govind Kund, place where I'm sure you've all been, place where there's a lot of very good Gaudiya sadhus doing a lot of kirtan there, even today. And there he stops drinking and eating water. Stops drinking, eating, and just sits there in separation from Srinagi, who he knows lives inside the temple. And I think on the second day, Lord Krishna himself manifests sakshat in front of Rus Khan. And Rus Khan is amazed and the beautiful boy who he saw in the painting is now in front of his eyes. And he starts chasing after Krishna. And he can't catch him. Sort of like the Upanishads say. You can run after him, but you can't, you know. Who runs without feet. Like that. But Rus Khan wants to embrace him, but Srinagi turns to him and says, not yet. The next day, Vitul Nagi, who was Vallabhacharya's son, is making ornamentation of Srinagi in the Srinagi temple. And Srinagi turns to him and says, Baba, by the way, one of my souls, a Muslim man by the name of Rus Khan, is languishing for me down the hill by the Govind Lake. I think it's time that you go down there and bring him up to me. So Vitul Nagi goes down to the Govind Lake, and Rus Khan sees Vitul Nagi from a distance. He stands up, and he says, Rus Khan says to him, you know the boy that I'm in love with. I can tell from your eyes. Okay, so he could recognize many things at this point. Vitul Nagi says, Rus Khan, Krishna has called you up to his temple. It is time for you to take Vaishnava initiation. So the story moves on from there. Rus Khan is then brought in front of Srinagi. There he receives what is called the Brahmasaman Mantra, which is the formal initiation into the Vallabha Sampradaya. And then the rest of his life, we don't know that much about it, but we kind of know everything because it's no longer historical at this point. Then he writes several volumes of this amazing Brajbhasha poetry, and he obviously lived here, and he lived in Gokul, where I also live too, And there is there, if you were ever in the area, there is something called the Ruskan Samadhi, which is next to Raman Reti. And you can go there, and you can see the place where Ruskan, I guess, eventually came. He came to rest. Let me now go into what Ruskan had to say about devotion. Because Ruskan gives us instructional teachings. And he also explains the form of Radha and of Krishna and tells us how a devotee should live in the world. He starts off by saying, Benavahi unako gunagahiyo Kanavahi unabena sosani Ahathavahi unagata sade Arupayavahi Juvahi anagami Janavahi unanakasango Manavahi jukare manamani Tyorasakanavahi Rasakana jay Hey Rasakana Sohei Rasakani. It's hard to translate things like this, but I've made an attempt at putting his poems into English. I worked with, I actually worked with two other scholars on this. And in this poem he says, the true voice sings his praises. The true ear is filled with Krishna's words. The true hand adorns his body. And the true feet, they follow him. The true life accompanies him, and true honor is in comforting Krishna, who says, and Ruskan says, that he is the fountain of joy. He is the treasure house of love, and he is also known as the blissful Krishna. This is one of my favorite ones. Vrindavana Bihari Lal Ki Jai Jai Sri Radhe. These are called dohas, and they are sung. I'm singing them as they are traditionally sung in Saveya style. They can also be sung in raga, in classical, and I might do one classical style as well if I can get in the mood. So this one's beautiful. Brahma medunyo puranina ganina Vedaricha sunacho gunachayana Dekyo suyo kabahuna katu Vasarupo kese subayana. The Braj Bhasha is so sweet here. Tereta hereta har parayo rasakan batayo nalo galugayana dekyo duro vakun jakutira me beta palo tate radika payan. I have searched, says Ruskan, for the supreme Brahman in the Puranic songs. From merely listening to the Vedic verse, my desire for Krishna has increased fourfold. Still, nowhere have I seen or ever heard of his real form or his nature. Cries Ruskan, I'm exhausted from calling and searching. There is not a single man or woman who can even describe him. And then I beheld him, Lord Krishna, sitting in a secret love power in Ikunja, massaging Radha's feet. So this is more Ras Khan in his, what we would call his Rasatmik Rupa, in his form as a deep devotee. He has many poems where he describes the form of Krishna. What does Krishna look like? This is one. Gunja garaye siramor pankarun chal gayant kimo manabhave Samvaro nanda kumar sabe brajamandalame brajaraja kahave Saj samaj sabe sirataja laj ki baat nahi kahyave O Tahiya hir ki chor hariya chachiya barcha chavana chanchave. There's that very famous line again. He has done a series of poems where he uses that line over and over again. And it goes like this. Krishna's elephant gate, of course, of all gates, the elephant, the Gajraj, has the supreme walk in Sanskrit. If you look in terms of Sanskrit Sahitya, Krishna's elephant gate, his Gunja bead necklace. The Gunja bead necklaces are the red and white beads which are native to Braj, which actually you can adorn Krishna with all you want, gold and diamonds and silver. But Krishna really likes just the Gunja bead. Krishna's elephant gate and Gunja bead necklace and peacock crown. Krishna is a naturalist. Totally delights my mind. He is the Swarthi son of Nanda, and everyone calls him the champion of Braj. He is simply the best, the adornment of his clan. I cannot adequately describe his splendor. Yet, it is the dairymaids, it is the gopis of Vrindavan who can make him dance for a sip of buttermilk from the palm of their hands. Tahi ahir de kicho hriyan, chachiya baracha chapena chanachave. When I first came to Braj, I mean, ISKCON was just starting here as well. The thing that brought me into the Krishna devotion was the lives of the saints, more than anything else. The Bhakta Charitra. The pastimes of the various devotees who attained Krishna, because they sit at the level where we are, more or less, a bit above us, perhaps, but we can understand from them how we can attain. And so Ras Khan was chasing after a Hindu boy in Delhi, becomes this stellar devotee whose poems are sung all over India, who is considered to be the champion of Krishna devotion, came from questionable backgrounds, which just proves that Amani Nam Amani Deya Kirtaniya Sadahari, right? You should give respect to everyone, even those who are unworthy, it seems, because you can't really tell who's hiding behind just what's below is what's important. Here's another one. Again, the sort of the Ras Khan's style is that he explains something in three lines, and then in the fourth line, he knocks you out with something that is so unexpected and so amazing, that is filled with such deep teachings from the Bhagavad. He's definitely Bhagavad-based. And that's why everyone, from all the Vaishnava lineages, everyone sings Ras Khan. There's no Vaishnava lineage, whether it's Nimbark, Gaudiya, Wallab, whether it's Radha Wallabi, whether it's Tatiyastan or Vrindavan, everyone is into Ras Khan. Laya samadrahe brahmade kata yoga baye parantana pave Sanjate borahi borate sanjahi Shesha sada nitanam japave. Dunda fideya triloka me saka sunara delay karabina bajave tahia hira ki choriya chachiya barachacha penacha nachave. Even if you don't understand it in the original, to hear the original words of an enlightened Krishna devotee is good. Brahma and the other gods, they always meditate upon him. The yogis, they can't find his end. The thousand-headed serpent Shesha chants his names from morning to night, and then again from night until morning. The great sage Narad searches for him, traversing the world, playing his veena. Yet, it is the dairy maids, it is the gopis of Vrindavan. This is where we all share identical tradition. It is the dairy maids, it is the gopis of Vrindavan who can make him dance for a sip of buttermilk from the palm of their hands. He liked that line. I'm going to move on, though. He has sung about Krishna Leela that is not in the Bhagavad. As you know, the Bhagavad Leela, because Pariksit had a doubt after hearing the Ras Leela, Pariksit doubted to a certain extent what Shukdev was explaining. And then Shukdev explained, look, I'm talking to you about Purushottam. And explained that these were not mundane things. This was divine pastimes. These were leelas. And then he did not explain any more of the Braj Leela. So there was a lot more of the Leela that is out there. So it's the Bhagavat which leads us to the sort of the door. And then the saints from all of the traditions have elaborated on the leelas. For instance, Holy Leela, Holy, which is the biggest festival in all of Braj, is the 40 days of Holi. There's no mention of Holi in the Bhagavad. Man Leela, Don Leela, when Krishna taxes the gopis, which is your Leela in Barsana at Sankriti Corp. That is not in the Bhagavad. The name Radha doesn't appear in the Bhagavad. Not a single time. So here's a Leela that... Now, mind you, these are not poems of imagination. There is an enormous difference in the traditions of bhakti between what is said to be kalpana, bhavana, and bhava. Kalpana is you imagine something. I can imagine whatever I want. It doesn't necessarily, and in most cases, it will not increase my bhav or devotion. So we always want to stay away from kalpana, from imagination. That's why we stick to the pramanas. We stick to the bona fide sources of Vaishnav literature, whether they be Bhagavad or Gita, or if you're so inclined towards the Vedant, the Upanishads, and then the literature which is in your own specific lineages, like Gaudiya, has so much enlightened lineage, has so much wonderful literature in Bengali, which I don't know, or in Sanskrit, which I do know a bit. So we want to take the lead from those who have already attained and then develop our own bhakti according to the lines of those who have already been there. And that is called bhavana, which means to emulate. To emulate the devotion of those beings who have already attained. And when you emulate with purity and confidence, then with the grace of Hari, you will attain Bhav, which is the direct experience. So Rus Khan is for us, Rus Khan gives us direction as to where we should be going in our own path. So he says, very, very, very sweetly, he says, Durabhayayati shobitashamaju. Tasi bani sira sundara choti kelita kata fide angana paga panjani bhajata piri kachoti. This is about child Krishna. This is about Baal Krishna. He didn't sing much about Baal Krishna, but there are a few poems. Ya chabi so rasakana vilokata vadita kama kala nijakoti kage ke baga bade sajani hari hatha sole gayo makana roti. This guy is a pure Krishna Bhakt. There's nothing but Krishna Bhakti in Rus Khan's language. He says here, this is a poem about a lucky crow. Shyam is stunning with a lovely braid. He is covered with the dust of Vrindavan as he plays and runs about and snacks in the courtyard. This young Krishna's anklets, they jingle. He is adorned with a yellow sash, says Rus Khan. Seeing that beauty of Lord Krishna, I discard useless Cupid and his million charms. O friend, how lucky is that crow who snatched a buttered roti from my Krishna's hand. What wonderful Mahaprasad did he have. It is Rus Khan's advice that I like. This is perhaps, again, I have so many favorites of Rus Khan. This one is very practical, especially for, you know, Westerners like ourselves. It's mostly Westerners here. We try harder in devotion than anyone. Okay? It's sometimes we try so hard that it's our effort which gets in the way. Because actually, na sadhanam sampatya, it's Krishna's not attained by effort. One should do sadhana. Krishna is attained by devotion, purely. So Rus Khan gives us a beautiful teaching here as to the way our devotion should flow. He says this, and he's extremely practical. Suniye savahi kahye nakachu rahiye imi bhavat bhagarame kariye vratanam sachailiye tinate tariye bhavasagarame miliye savaso durabhav bina rahiye satasanga ujagarame Rasakan Gobinda Tonyo Bajiye Jemina Giriyan Chitaga Gurame. This is called effortless worship. Rus Khan says, listen to everyone, but don't talk much. In this manner, remain in the world. Perform your vows and your sadhanas with sincerity. They will carry you across the mind ocean. Greet all without negativity. And most importantly, remain in the illumination of devotional association. Now here comes the punchline. Rus Khan says, you should worship Govinda the way a village woman balances a water jug upon her head with effortless concentration. Now, it's changed here because they now have in Jetipur what is called null. They have tap water, sort of. It actually comes from Gontali because there's no good water around here, if you've noticed. And when I first lived here in the early 70s, all the way through into the early 80s, and even now, but much less, you see women, they go to the well. I used to walk a mile every day, sometimes twice a day to get water, and I would have a jug. But the ladies, they have two. And what they do is they go to the well, they have three jugs. They have one small jug, which they use to actually get the water from. And then they carefully put their jugs on the side of the well, pouring a little bit of water first so that it's pure. And then they pour the water into the jugs. In the hot season, the jugs are made out of clay, because clay keeps the water at the perfect temperature. In this season, they are made out of copper, because if you have water that's in copper, iron, you know, that's very good for you to drink water that spent the night in like a copper jug. They fill it up just to the rim. If you fill it below the rim, when you put it on your head, it will slosh around and probably spill over on you. If you fill it up beyond the rim, you'll also get wet. So you must fill up the jug just to the right amount, right? There's a lot of teachings in this. So they would fill one up, and I saw this for years, because I lived in this, I was here for 8 or 9 years, like, without a stop. I lived in this village. And so they would fill up one jug, like, about, like, this big. Must be, I don't know, maybe 25 kilos. And with the help of another woman, often, she would put it on her head with an earring, with a little thing that's on top of the head, put it on. And what's the most amazing thing is that on top of that one, which I could barely carry myself, and I was a state champion wrestler, right? She would then put a second jug on top of that one. And then have the jug, which she filled them up with, fill that one too, and a child on the other, you know, on the other hip. No hands. And sometimes there were branches, so she'd have to stoop down so that the top jug wouldn't be knocked over by the branch. And they go in groups of 2 and 4s, and they talk about what they've done today, the roti or what's going on in town. And they never forget for a single moment the jugs, because if they forget the concentration for a tenth of a second, those jugs will come tumbling down to the ground, but they carry on with their life. So Russ Khan says, Rasa Khan, Gobinda Toyon, Bajie, Jimmy Nagarion, Chitagagarime. That's how you should worship Krishna. You shouldn't say, I'm worshiping Krishna, I'm a great devotee, see all the japa that I'm doing, all the seva I'm doing. No. Russ Khan says, no one should even know that you are doing bhajan. It should be the way that those women are concentrating on their jugs. Very important. Otherwise, you have what is called the pride of sadhana. I have done so much sadhana. I've done so much austerities. I don't see in the Bhagavad, in the 10th canto, anyone who got anything from austerities like that. The entire Braj Leela was through love alone. And that is why our traditions look towards the first half of the Bhagavad for their deep inspiration in the Krishna Bhakti. Because it is in the Braj Leelas that we find the essence of the pure devotional mood. Since the day I saw the son of Nanda, I've abandoned every rule and severed all ties with my mundane home. His beautiful glance has clobbered me. I've lost control of my heart. I've been looted by love. Like a river rushing to the ocean cannot be contained. The barriers of my worldly family have all been shattered. Rus Khan is intoxicated. My heart whirls with Krishna, a treasure house of divine love, as I gulp the blissful nectar of his beauty. Rus Khan beholds Radha, the enchantress, and Krishna, the enchanter, as they meet unexpectedly in a grove. The fierce summer sunshine is transformed into a flood of joy as bliss surges throughout their divine bodies. O friend, the fruit of life is found in love's conversations. The lover's play knows no end. Krishna gently rests his hand on Radha's shoulder. The soft shadow of his peacock crown plays upon her face. And then this one, of course. Jo rasana virase tovidehu sada nindanama ucharit. By the way, it's much easier to recite these in Braj Bhasha than it is in English. Still, I spent years on this text because I wanted to, you know, and to put the bhav, the spirit of someone who's attained into English from someone who doesn't really understand what he's writing about anyways. meaning myself, takes a bit of time and a bit of courage. So, the original is very easy for me to recite. Jorasana rasana vilase Tovide sada ninanamo charita Mokatani ke kare kareni Jope kun jagutir Dehu buharin Siddha samrida sabe rasakana Rayo Vraja renuka sangha samvarana Kasa nivasa liyo jopeto Vahi kalindi kule kadam kidaren. Another one of these divine poems that teaches and gives us insight into the nature of the lila. A tongue. It has an interesting play on the word. Jo rasana, rasana. So rasana is Sanskrit for tongue. And then if you take the word apart, rasana means no ras. Okay, so he's playing. That is the way. It's interesting because he's very Sanskritized. Obviously, a man who has come face to face understands every language. The tongue that does not delight in the nectar of your name utters constant blame. Jo rasana, rasana vilase, does not delight, speaks ridiculous things. Allow my hands to remain occupied in the beautiful service of sweeping out your love bower. Says Ras Khan, all the yogic powers and wealths, the siddhis and the riddhis of this world, cannot equal a single grain of this sand. If you grant me a special residence, let it be among the branches of a kadam tree on the banks of the Yamuna River. So I will end this session here with the most famous of all of Ruskom's poems. This poem is the one that most people have put into their heart. And it goes like this. Manasaho tavahi rasa khana baso braja gokala gama ke gwalin Jo pashuho to kaha basa mero chero nitananda denu amanjarin Pavanaho tavahi giriko jo dara yokara chatra purandara karana Jo kagoho abaso akaro Mile kalindiku kadam kedarin. And that is, in English, it goes something like this. If I, Ras Khan, am to be reborn with any luck as a man again, then let me live here in Braj as a cow lad in the village of Gokul. Manasaho tavahira sakana baso rajagokala gama ke gwalin. If I am to be born as an animal, ho pashuto to kahaba samero charo nitananda denu manjarin. If I am to be born as an animal, then what shall I be? A cow that grazes in Krishna's herd. Deo, Rade. Okay, so we got here sat and chit. Right? So, I mean, man's life is such it with Ananda a little bit. Right? According to Taittiriya Upanishad. Right? Man's got a little bit of bliss. Not a lot. Okay? So, in animals, they have more sat and chit. They got less Ananda. How about if we have only sat? Only existence. A rock. If I am to be born as a rock, then let me rest upon the mountain that Krishna held in his hand as an umbrella against Indra's rains. Pavanaho tavahigiri ko jo parandara dara chatra udaran and ho kagaho basova karoa takalindikula kadamake daran. Then he ends it. He says, and if I am to be a bird, then let me live in the branches of a kadam tree by the banks of the Yamuna River. So, friends, this is just a drop of the literature of Braj. Braj is amazing. Braj has Giriraji. Braj has the sands. Braj has Yamunaji. Braj has been graced by the saints. And we are able to pick up the scent and the path from what they have left through their words. There's this beautiful poem that's about this area, and I'm going to sing it as a closing. This is in the classical raga. This is in the Pushti Margya Drupad style of singing. Let me sing it down. Lalit Braj Des Giriraj Rajai. Lalit Braj Des Giriraj. Lalit Braj Des Giriraj Rajai. Lalit Braj Des Giriraj. Gokatriya Mantani Sang Giridharan Karat Nitakel. Ta kamala jay, lalita braj des giri raj rajay. Trivida pavan sanchare, sukhata jarana jare. Lalita saurabh sarasa madhupa gajay. Lalita palabula palita sataratu. Chatrabuja Das Giriraj Samajaya Lalita Braj Lalita Braj Des Giriraj Govardhana Ki Rahi Yaitarati Sri Govardhana Ki Rahi. Let me live by the Govardhan Hill. Nita Pratimadana Gopala Lalake. Let my mind every day reside solely and focused upon the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Nita Pratimadana Nita Pratimadana Gopala Lalake Charana Kamala Chitta Leye Tarati Sri Govardhana Tarati. Where we are, especially where you are staying, that is called in Braj Bhasha Tareti. It's just a flat land that's just on the sides. When the Govardhan Hill stops and it's flat, that's where you should live, not on the hill. Right? Then he says, Tanapula Kita, let the hairs on my body bristle with anand from being in this region. Romancha, as it's called in Sanskrit. Tanapulakita, which is in Braj Bhasha. Tanapulakita, Braja Raja Melo Hutata. Let the hairs on my body, all the hairs on my body, stand on end as I roll in these sands. And then what do? Govinda Kunda Menei. And then I'll go and take a bath in the Govind Lake. Tanapulakita, Braja Raja Melo Hutata. Govinda Kunda Menei. Rasi kapritama ahita chitta ki bate giri dhari joso kahi ye tarati sri govardhana ki govardhana ki govardhana ki rahi. Thanks for having me, Sachinandan Swami, my dear friend. Everyone for listening. It's nice to do this. Jai Radhe. Vrindavan Bihari Lal Ki Jai Ho. Right? As they say, Be Gari Jia. This is in Gujarati. You live for 12 minutes. If you have good association, if it's for 12 minutes, that's enough. You have finally lived. Be Gari Jia. So I am looking for 12 minutes of good association here. So, Haribol. Haribol. Yeah.